So anyway, we're going to go to Ephesians. Last week I taught on forgiveness and how great God's forgiveness is and how he wiped away our sins and our transgressions and how we are to be forgiving also. Not as a requirement to be forgiven, but rather just because we are to be forgiving, tender-hearted, loving, and forgiving. So today we're going to look at mercy. And chapter 2, verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us." So we see here two things. We see that God is rich or abundant in mercy, right? He has a lot of it. And that mercy is connected to or is a result of God's love. Simple, huh? The simple meaning of the word mercy, which is the Greek word eleos, is to be kind and beneficent. Beneficent means you bestow benefits on people. You help them. You do things for them. Means more than that. You know, Dr. Worrell used to teach that grace, which grace is connected to mercy too, grace is God giving us things that we don't deserve, and mercy was not giving us things that we do deserve. And that's part of it, but there's much more to it. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy," you know, same as great mercy, but here it's abundant mercy or rich in mercy, "hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So because of the richness of his abundant mercy, he has begotten us. He's caused us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to be born again. You know, we had to believe, of course. We had to confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. But it's because of his abundant mercy that we get to that place. And then it says, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Well, that's cool. He hath begotten us. The Working Translation says, "he hath begotten us again and caused us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to be born again." God loves us. He sees our misery and hopeless life and causes or gives an opportunity to be born again, to receive eternal life and have a living hope. So we go from the point in life of being dead in sins and trespasses to being made alive with Christ, from being hopeless to being filled with hope and eternal inheritance. You know, we go from one extreme to the other. We go from the blackest black to the lightest light. You know, that's God's mercy. It's pretty great. God saw man's miserable condition when Adam sinned and had pity and did something about it. And that's really a lot about what mercy is. Being merciful is you see a bad condition or misery or suffering or great need, and then you not only have empathy or concern, but you do something about it. You give a hand up, you give help, you give deliverance, you do something for those people. And that is what mercy is, seeing somebody's misery, having pity or empathy, and giving relief. It is not saying you caused your, you know, you don't say to somebody, "well, you caused your own problem, you made your bed, lay in it." It's, okay, you got this situation, how can I help you out of it? And that's what God did for us, because really, we made our own bed, or Adam made our bed for us, and then we inherited it. You know, and a lot of times in life, you know, a lot of the difficulties we have is because of our own stupid choices. Not always, but sometimes it is. But God doesn't care. God always gives us a way out, right? it says in Corinthians, he always makes a way out for us in every situation. So let's go to Titus. Timothy, Titus, and verse 3, or chapter 3. Now here, this Titus is what's called the pastoral epistle, right? And Paul is writing to Titus, instructing him on being a minister and a pastor to people, how to help the church. And it says in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge. Oh, that's Titus. Sorry.
Titus,
chapter 3. I was reading in 2 Timothy. Sorry. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, which really isn't in there. You can admit that. To be ready to every good work. So he's saying, okay, Titus, you need to put people in mind. Remind them of these things. God bless you. To speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward men appeared, which would refer to Jesus Christ, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So he was to put people in mind of these things. Verses 2 and 3 tell you do's and don'ts. And then verse 4 says what God has done for us. And verse 5, how he took care of our problem. Our biggest problem was that we were dead in trespasses and sins. And he made a way out by giving us eternal life. He put his seed, his Holy Spirit within us, so that we have eternal life. What a great thing. Let's go to 2 John. 2 John, the epistle of 2 John. Not normally a place we go to too often, probably. But it's pretty good. It says in verse 1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. What a cool letter he wrote to this lady. You know, she was born again, obviously. She's the elect lady, the chosen lady, and her children. And it's all about the truth, for the truth's sake. And then he says, grace be with you, God's undeserved favor and mercy, his help and his empathy and help, his hand out to you, and peace from God the Father. And you know, when we understand and we know that we have God's grace and we have God's mercy, it's easier to be peaceful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. When you know you're forgiven, it's easier to be peaceful. When you know that God is there looking to extend a hand of help in time of need, we can be peaceful. You know, according to what it says here, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. And everything emanates or is activated by God's love, which we saw right in the beginning, right? In Ephesians, it talked about how according to his great love. What a great thing. God's a loving God, and because he's a loving God, he's a gracious God. Let's go to Jude.
Jude.
Hey, Jude. Okay.
Revelation.
It's the next page over, probably, in your Bible. Or if you're on your phone or iPad, there is no chapter. Just like in 2 John, there is no chapter. And verse 1, it says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God, the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. So here again we see that mercy and peace are connected. You know, he says, mercy to you and peace. You know, he knows and he's assuring this man, Jude, that he's blessed, that God's going to take care of him. God's going to extend his hand, that he's not alone in any situation. God's mercy is always there for us. He's rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. So we see that mercy is not just a feeling bad or sad when someone has a need or having pity, but it is an active desire to relieve pain and misery. It is to offer genuine help. And it is activated by love. And so our mercy is activated by love. You know, when we are to be merciful towards people too. God loves us, and when we have needs, God has that desire. He has that great desire and great love to help us, to get us out of any situation we get into. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, you know, when he told them that they would die the moment that they, or that day when they sinned, and they died spiritually. We know that. They were created body, soul, and spirit, made, formed, and created. But they lost spirit. But he didn't take away that physical life. He could have. He could have done that. But God had mercy, and he extended his grace and love. And after they sinned, what did he do? He prophesied or gave word that he would send the Messiah, right? And get to Noah. And God had every reason to destroy mankind. But Noah walked before him upright. And so he preserved mankind by saving Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives so that mankind could continue on. And of course, the whole thing being that he could eventually get to the place where he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to redeem man. Matthew chapter 20 and Jesus Christ here. And in verse 29, it says, and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. Have mercy. They're asking for that mercy. It's a form of that word Elios. It's the word Elio, and it's have mercy. I was supposed to read 29, but I read 30, but 29 doesn't mean anything. So, well, it just says that Jesus Christ came out of Jericho and the multitude followed him. And there were two blind men and they were sitting on the side of the road. And that's an Oriental, we understand that's an Orientalism or a custom in the Orient where people that had needs would sit by the road hoping that a man of God would come by and heal them. And when they saw Jesus Christ, they said, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. They recognized, at the very least, that he was the son of David, which could have meant that they did believe that he was the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. They didn't shut up. I mean, what the heck? They're blind. What have they got to lose, you know? Oh, here's our chance. This is the guy that we think can heal us. and everybody's telling us to shut up. Why? You know, sometimes we do that. You know, we have a need, and then people say, well, don't, can't ask for that. Well, yes, you can. Why not? God is God. Anybody ever tell you why you shouldn't bother God with small things? Why? God's interested in every detail of our lives. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? They said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. Now, I kind of think that Jesus Christ knew what they needed, but he asked them. He wanted to hear them say it, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them. He had compassion. He looked at these guys and he had compassion. I hate to use the term, he felt their pain. You know, he had empathy for them. He cared. He wanted to help them. And they had asked him. And Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. You know, and so then they followed him. They became disciples. They became followers of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, there are a number of, I think there are at least five records in the Gospels of Jesus Christ healing blind people. And each one of them is different. You know, one time he tells the guy to go wash. One time he puts spit on the guy's eyes and makes mud and puts it on their eyes. Another time he just tells somebody to see, and then it says they saw like shadows or trees walking, and then he said something else to him, and then his sight came back. You know, but five different ways. I mean, it wasn't the same way each time. You know, there's no formula, there's no manual on how to heal somebody of a particular disease or need or physical malady. It's what God tells you to do, you know, and it may have to do with the place where you live and the customs and what people believe. Nobody knows for sure. Let's go to Psalms 103.
Is that the same word, mercy, compassion?
No. Okay. It can be, but I don't think it is there. Psalm 103, and Psalm 103 is about God's mercy. Because God was merciful in the Old Testament just as much as he's merciful in the New Testament. And certainly, God's people saw God's mercy many times. Israel, when they were in bondage in Egypt, God saw their misery and he sent Moses to relieve their misery, didn't he? That's mercy. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Meaning, praise God, praise the Lord, praise Jehovah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, in the Old Testament, he did these things, but it was not the same. You know, they had to work harder at it. They had to believe God just like we have to believe God, but sometimes they had to do other things. They had to listen to God and obey him. So it says in verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, he's there to help us all the time, to bless our lives, to deliver us, to give us help in time of need. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. The word judgment is justice. You know, we understand things about God, and there are certain truths we understand about God, which we could expand on this and go for days. But we know that God is love, right? We know that God is just. We know that God is merciful. So when you go back and look at different things in the Word of God, sometimes, you know, like the flood. Well, was God mean? Was he evil? Was he bad? No.
He had a reason.
He had a reason. People were evil in their hearts continually. You know, their thoughts were just on evil and violence. And so, but the one guy that listened to God and believed was Noah. And so he and his sons got blessed. So God didn't do it because he was mean. He was being just and righteous. And we know that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So God extended the opportunity for other people to believe. He always extends the opportunity for people to believe. And if they believe, then he takes them back. He always does because he's a just and merciful God. He made known, verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. And they were all merciful acts. You know, how many times did Israel complain, moan, whine, rebel? The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Plenteous. We saw he was rich in mercy. We saw his mercy was abundant. Here it says he was plenteous. Even in the Old Testament, where they didn't have the same access to God as we do, they didn't have a Savior that paid the full and complete price and sacrifice as we do, and yet God was still plenteous in mercy. That he was willing to do what he did for them is amazing, unbelievable. You know, he brought them out of Egypt and showed them all those miracles and all the things that he did. You know, like, he sent the hail that turned into fire, and he sent the frogs, and all, but it never touched the people of Israel. It just was on the Egyptians. And then the Passover, where the oldest male of every house, including animals, died, except Israel. You know, how does that happen? And so they saw these things, and yet when 2 days after they got out of Egypt, they were complaining. I don't know about 2 days, but it wasn't that long. Yeah, maybe three. And they just continued to complain. Then they'd run out of water, and then God brought water out of the rocks. And then they ran out of food, so then he rained manna on them. And then they complained about the manna, so then he sent doves. And then they complained about the doves. You know, it never ended. But he was plenteous in his mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And what a great understanding that is, that just that verse. He does not reward us according to our iniquities. He doesn't deal with us after our sins. In other words, he's not standing there looking down from heaven, and every time you sin, he hits you over the head with a hammer, or he causes a punishment to be put out there for you. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't send you to jail. You don't, can't pass go and collect $200. Go directly to jail. God's not that. God's not Monopoly. God's not a hateful God. He's not a God that holds things against us. He's plenteous in his mercy, and he's forgiving. And he does not reward us according to our iniquities. For as heaven, the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. How great is his mercy? As far as the heavens are from the earth. how far does the heaven extend above the earth?
They have no idea.
Thank you, Steve.
They say 13.7 billion light years.
It's eternity.
Yeah, it's eternity.
They don't know, right, Steve?
They have no clue.
You can't measure. You can't
measure. There's a wall up there somewhere.
Yeah.
There's no measurement.
So, verse 13, like a father, as a father pitieth or loveth his children, so the Lord pitieth or loveth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, the places thereof shall know it no more. But, verse 17, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. You know what that means? His mercy never ends. He never runs out of mercy for us. He never runs out. He said, okay, you used up your allotment of mercy. Man, that would not be fun. I would have run out a long time ago.
Yeah, me too. We need it every day.
So he never runs out of his mercy for us. It's everlasting to everlasting. And what else does it say? And it's to them that fear him or love him and respect him and his righteousness unto children's children. And it extends unto our children and unto our grandchildren. No matter what they do, his grace and mercy extend to them. To such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Well, we have a different covenant than they have, but our covenant's a better covenant. And the commandments to us are a different commandment and a better one. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And you know, you think about his grace and his mercy and how it abounds in our lives and how his mercy is extended to us from everlasting to everlasting. The more we understand the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God, the more we should love him and the more committed we should be to him. We should just be so committed. We heard in the manifestations today about how we should be bold to speak his word, and he will never let us or allow us to look foolish. And that he will, there are people out there that so hunger for righteousness and truth and help, and we should be anxious to speak that word. We should be not anxious, not afraid, but anxious in meaning we should be excited to speak his word at every chance we get. Let's go back to Ephesians. Chapter 2. Verse 4 again. But God, who is rich in mercy, abundant in mercy, overflowing with mercy, from everlasting to everlasting, for his great love, and the great there is the word mega, his mega love, wherewith he loves us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. You know, we didn't deserve to get saved. He did it because he loved us. And he was merciful. He saw we had a need. What a need. You know? He fulfilled that need. You know, it talks in Hebrews about, you know, the greatest fear of man is death. Well, he overcame that fear. He provided us with eternal life, and not only eternal life, but when we get it, when Christ comes back, we get a new body that doesn't wear out. And it's better than any guarantee we get. You know, when I got my new knee a couple of years ago, it has a 30-year guarantee. Well, by the time it runs out, I'll be 104 or something. I don't know if I'll have to worry about it too much. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, or the heavenly realm, in Christ Jesus. We're already in the heavenly realm. that in the ages to come, the ages, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And kindness is, you know, part of mercy. It's not the same word. The word kindness there means kindness regardless of whether you appreciate it or not. You know, God is kind towards us and merciful towards us, whether we're thankful or not, whether we appreciate it or not. He's always there for us. You know, it's like when you raise kids. Sometimes you do things for kids, whether they appreciate it or not. Maybe they don't appreciate it or really understand it until, you know, they reach a certain maturity, right? Well, we're the same way. We don't always appreciate everything God has done until we, you know, gets into our brain, till we figure it out, till we get a better understanding. But he's still doing it. He doesn't stop doing it. He's still kind towards us. And he wants to show that kindness throughout the ages. So that's what I wanted to share today. That's God's mercy a little bit. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your great mercy and your great grace. We thank you that we can appreciate your kindness and your love for us and how you are so amazing in all you do for us. We thank you for a great afternoon and a great week ahead, and that we can just be bold in standing for you in our witness and in our lives. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.